Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Golly, it's good to be here. I'll tell you, it's funny because Sandy said, Bill, you got to be careful who you talk to and what you listen to before you get up and speak, because you're usually going to talk about the last thing that you talked about. And I just so happened to be sitting by the elder Roger Walsh over there. Dear God in heaven, that guy's so full of God, it's crazy. And but I'll tell you, I'm probably going to end up talking about the power of the seed, Roger, in about 5 minutes. But I'll tell you, this has been a remarkable time for me. And I want you to know that God richly gives us all things pertaining life and godliness. All right? All things. And, you know, it's interesting. And one of the points Roger made over there while Taylor was talking is the power of the seed. That the world can replicate, can do so. I mean, they can technology today and everything, but they can't duplicate. They can't replicate a seed, and it's amazing. You know, I read something on an airplane months ago that talked about this seed they found in an old pharaoh's tomb, and that seed. They sowed that seed, and I'm sure it was in perfect soil and the whole deal, but it was thousands of years old, and that seed sprang to life because that seed has life in it. And you understand, the word says the sower sows the seed, and the seed is God's word. See, that's what's being sown. See, so for you, how that applies is you receive the word. But the Bible doesn't just talk about us making the catch like this. It talks about us receiving the word with gladness. So much so that we're so affectionate about God's word that we're meditating in it day and night. That we never move our eyes from God's promise and God's word. Man, we take our eye off God's word for this much. Guess what happens? A door opens in our lives. See, the Bible talks about, and this is interesting, and maybe some revelation for some of you guys, that the Bible talks about our eyes being the windows to our soul. And I'm always thinking that is, man, you could look someone in the eye and you can tell what they're about. If they're shifty, if they're sincere, if they're humble, if they're prideful. And I believe that's accurate, but I also believe that what the window of our soul, that we're allowing things into our soul just by man, just a quick glance. You know, it's so amazing that, man, something comes up on television. There's so many, man, the advertisements, the TV series that are happening now. There's so much that's happening that grieves the heart of God. We almost can't turn the channel quick enough because that glimpse affects our souls. And we have to understand that God's word, that this revival is real. It started with just a word from God. A simple man from Colombia that looked at me and said, you're to do a 60-day revival, and it's the most important thing I've ever said to you or to your church. And so I'm like, okay. And I'll tell you, part of it is because God gave me a word in coming out of the pandemic and the restrictions and everything that's happening, that it was like the catapult that we're being pulled back and we're being pulled back and we're being restricted. But at some point, I'm telling you, the grip that the enemy has, he's not going to be able to hold it. And that catapult is released, and that slingshot effect happens. So you think about it. The Bible promises us that we are those who throw beyond the usual mark. That means we're more than above average. That average stops when we open God's word. When you think about the names of God, you think about Rapha, he's the healer. Shalom, he's our peace. But Jireh, he's the God of more than enough. Man, it's all about taking new ground, but it's all about bringing the super into our natural. And now it's not, we're not just putting up numbers. It's embarrassing what happens. It's everything we put our hand to prospers. And we're looking at life at like, well, where's the magic wand? Because I want to be an overnight success. That's not what you want to be. Man, a dear friend of mine, Marcus Meekham, that pastors a church in Cincinnati, he said, he laid out this message to me in about 40 minutes in a phone call. And it was, I think he titled it King in a Week, and that was Saul. Saul went from herding donkeys to being the king in 1 week. Probably the worst king that ever lived. Yet David served the king's castle for 23 years after God spoke to him and told him he'd be king. For 23 years. And he was the greatest king who ever lived. Why? Because that seed was sown in his heart that he'd be king. Man, Taylor was talking about being the firstborn, and Taylor's 35 years old, and yes, he's successful, and yes, man, he's walking in a higher level of gifting now, but it wasn't overnight. Man, this church is almost 30 years old, and man, I think about the people that have passed through our lives, and I think, oh my gosh, I wish I would have known then what I know now. But you know, the biggest thing that we could do, the most important thing, and I believe it's the message tonight for this revival, is the first message is we aren't those that are clamoring for miracles all the time. And I know we just sang about that, but I'm hoping that song is for people in here that are brand new believers and need a miracle to leapfrog the deficit that's in your life in whatever area and put you on front. Do you understand? God's word promises us that we'll live our life out in front. That's why there's so many warnings. I mean, some of you Bible scholars may need to help me. And how many warnings are there for us not to look back? Don't look back. Man, would any of you guys that ever ran track, any of you guys that were ever running backs or wide receivers or kick returners, man, I'm telling you, when all you see is daylight and all you see is green grass in front of you as a football player, you don't look back. Because I promise you, someone's chasing you. I promise you. Man, I was at the the Western U.S. Rugby Trials back in 1981 or two. Man, there was this guy that took off that they said was the fastest rugby player in America. And he scooped up this ball off the ground. He took off and he was gone. Well, I played for Tulsa and our coach was Welsh. And he said, no matter how far anybody's in front of you, you go run them down. And he looked at me as a 23 or 4-year-old guy. And he said, look, Shear, your job is to run them down. So, man, this happens. And we're down in Dallas at these rugby trials. And it's all these great players and me. But this guy takes off, and he is gone, I'm telling you. But, man, I was coached. I was told, go run him down. So that's what I was going to do. I was going to run him down. He gets 20 yards or 20 meters from the goal, and I'm watching this guy, and I'm not gaining on him at all. And I'm watching this guy, and the next thing I know, he does a front flip and ends up on his back and grabs his hamstring, and the ball flies up in the air, and I'm the only one chasing. And he blew his hamstring. He's screaming. And I'm telling you, there is so much joy in my heart, and I'm not ashamed to tell you. I am so glad that guy blew his hamstring. Because I came by and I scooped it and I took off the other way. And two passes later, we scored. And guess what? I guarantee you my name was inked onto that team, making that team with that one play. That's how God is in our lives. But I'm telling you, you guys that are getting out in front, something's chasing you. Something's behind you. Don't look back. And I'll tell you why. The eyes are the windows of your soul. You get that image in your heart, man, what happens? A little anxiety. It's like, what if I have a bad day? Man, what if the economy turns? What if that tumor that I'm speaking life over, man, what if that thing begins to grow? Let me just tell you something. Cancer cannot kill you. I know science might tell you that, but I know too many people that have overcome it and lived through it. But something's got to apply itself to that cancer for it to be deadly in your life. Anxiety or fear, depression, no hope. That happens, stick a fork in it. But I'm telling you, my granny Lila beat cancer four different times and died at 95 years old. And I joke with her. Man, there was one time she went in and had half her colon taken out, drove herself home from the hospital, never told anybody she was in the hospital. I'm like, Granny, you could have at least called. She goes, what are you going to do? I said, I could pray, Granny. She said, I'm already praying. I'm home now. I said, what'd the doctor say? Oh, I don't listen to them. I said, take that tumor out, and I'm going home. I've got dogs to feed. And you know what? She was just too mean to die. But you have to understand, man, the word affects how we think. That it renews our mind. It makes our mind new. New to what? Man, new to the new Bill of Rights that God's given us, the new constitution that we have. Do you understand that all we have to do, and let me tell you, my children were raised with this phrase. These two words, they were raised with it. Best effort. And see, that's the question that you've got to ask yourself coming out of it. And this is 58 days to tonight. We've got tomorrow night, we've got Saturday, Sunday's Easter, and it's 61. And you know what 61? 61 personifies in America record-breaking. Roger Maris, they changed the schedule in baseball from 154 games to 162 games. In those extra 8 games, Roger Maris hit 2 home runs. One was 60, the other was 61, and broke Babe Ruth's record. So you know what they did? They put an asterisk by Roger Maris's record. See, the world doesn't want you breaking any records. There's hallowed records out there. Why do you think we're still dealing with I'm correcting what I just said. Why do you think they're still dealing with racism? I think that's a record the world doesn't want broken. I think God's called us to break it. How are we going to do it? Same way we had revival. We get a word of the Lord. We respond to it with action, and we begin to profess revival. Breakthrough. That's how it happens. See, Jesus said, have the faith of God. See, your Bible may be translated, have faith in God. That's not the literal translation. The literal translation is have the faith of God. The God kind of faith. That he saw darkness and it bugged him. Yeah, it was a big kind of bug because God's a big God. But what did he do? He said, be light. What happened? Man, you think about it. Let me tell you, I've never quoted C.S. Lewis. I've never read any of his material, but I heard a quote that he had. He said, yeah, the sun, S-U-N, provides us with light, and I'm appreciative of that. But what he said is, by that light, we get to see everything else. And see, that's what God's word does for us in our lives. It causes the light to enter our life and how we see things. Man, if you've got deficit in your heart, if you've got deficit in your mind, if you've got deficit in your house, it's just because there's a layer of darkness on it. You've got to bring the light into the situation. Because what does the light bring? The light brings heaven. And what does the Bible say about heaven? That every good and perfect gift comes from above. Man, but let me tell you, we are so conditioned to look laterally. We're so conditioned to, man, three simple words change your life. God, help me. And you have the faith of God that when you speak, God hears. See, we're believers. We're Christians. We're not sinners anymore. We're not. We're sons and daughters now. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when you stop identifying yourself with that sin, it changes everything. It's a game changer for me. And let me tell you, man, there's people right now that it might be offending them. There's no honor in sin. There's no honor in me identifying myself with that sin. No, there's honor in me identifying myself with God's promise. But you know what? We need sympathy, man. You need to sympathize with my situation. It's not my fault. I don't care. I'm not here to find fault. I'm not here to blame anybody. Because with that blame comes shame. Too many people want to blame other people. There's two words. Best effort. Are you doing your best? That's what we need to come out of this revival with. Because let me tell you something. Everything you will ever need, God has already supplied it. You know the word that God gave me, that Gustavo Paez gave me in Louisville 2 years ago? He started giving me the word. And he stopped and he said, I need to finish it later. And he walked away. I'm like, okay. I didn't go there for a word anyway. I wasn't looking for a word. But then he came back around the next day and he said, and Daddy Duran, my friend Daddy, he said, Gustavo, can you give Pastor Bill his word? And it was kind of reluctant. It was kind of, yeah, I will if I have to. But you know what he said? He said, Bill, everything you need in your life, you have. Well, that's easy for me to hear. You know why? That's the revelation God's given me in my relationship with him. Because the work God's done, the finished work of Christ is in my heart already. It's in my spirit already. I'm born again. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Everything that you need, you have. Yeah, but. You know what? So much of this, well, let's discuss that. Where there are many words, transgression surely follows. We either trust God's promise or we don't. That's what you've got to decide. The Bible says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Let me tell you who you serve. You serve who you trust. Man, if you're going to trust your feelings, if you're going to trust your symptoms, if you're going to trust the diagnosis, that's what you're going to serve. But you stop and you say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust the men of God and the women of God he's put in my life. See, that's a big key. That's what God's doing here. See, it's a trigger word in the church right now is community. It's got to be community. I get it. Bad company corrupts good morals. And it doesn't even give you the scale. It doesn't say 10 minutes of bad company or a couple days of bad company. It just says bad company corrupts good morals. And it's not talking about morals like I don't lie, cheat, and steal. It's morals that we rise above the any standard the world sets. I'm telling you, God's called us to break records. God's called us to a peculiar future, a peculiar path, a peculiar destiny. Because what we want to do is we want to take the amount of ability that we have and we want to put that in the slot of destiny that God's given us. And I'm telling you, you're wasting your time if that's what you want here. Because I'm telling you, what I want to do is I want to grab you by the ears and I want to yell in your face and say, let me tell you something. God has created you and built you for so much more. He's developing something in you right here, right now, in real time. Every day I pull in this parking lot that I have to speak, I'm like, God, you've got to do something because these people can't leave the way they came in. And I've got a scale from 1 to 10. You might have come in here and you're a 4. You can't leave here a 4. And let me tell you what God does. He accelerates that jump. You know what he does? Man, he turns things. He flips things. He says, look, I'm going to do a new work in you and you'll know it. And you know what we become? We become these forgetful hearers. Man, we walk in, it's like God's doing a work, God's doing a work. Man, the biggest, the most important line of all the songs that we sang tonight is this is a move. And here's what's amazing, is we want to say that God's doing that move. No, you know what? The will of God is for my life to move. And it's never lateral with God. It's always vertical. It's always a jump to better. There's more. God has better for us. Man, you come in here with your ability. Do you think there's a chance I'm in the top 100 to do what I do, that just in this room of people equipped and the skill set? No. Man, I'll tell you what God gave me in 1979. I'd been a Christian about a month. God gave me a vision of ministry. I was in an old truck, driving down the road, a two-lane road, pulled off the road on a path, like a cow, like two ruts and through the woods. You wind through the woods, it's all trees, you can't see anything. And then you get to the end of that dirt road and everything cleared. In the middle of that clearing was a huge barn. And there's people everywhere. And I'll tell you why. Because the first month I was a Christian, every time I went to church, and I began to love being in God's house, but I thought, why are they making this so hard on everybody? Why is no one dressing like this? This is how I dressed in 1979. Why are all the fellas in here hairspraying their hair? Why are we listening to this music? Because the music I pulled up here with in my truck was so much better. And I remember that day I was listening to the Allman Brothers. And I walked into church, and there's this big guy on this guitar, and he's got like 4 or 5 strings on a 6-string guitar, and people are all laughing, and people are jumping, and they're doing that little jig thing that church people did then, and I'm looking around, I'm thinking, this is crazy. These people actually like this. And I kept thinking, why are we making it so hard? Why don't we just get people to confess Jesus? Because the Bible says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Why don't we make this attractive? Man, God called us to be fishers of men. You need bait to catch. Where's the bait? Because let me tell you something. At that point, I love God so much, I'd have sat on a nail to hear his word. I'd never heard anybody speak like that before. And I knew the only revelation I had was God had made me a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's all I knew. That's all, that every thought of my life filtered through that word. Man, the revelation that's in your life, especially the fresh revelation, let everything that you see and everything you hear, force it to filter through that word. The Bible says bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Well, there's this big clearing, there's a clearing and there's this barn and there's people everywhere. There's footballs and frisbees and people laughing and that barn is shaking. And I walked into the barn, this is a vision, so get with me. I've had like one my whole life, I think. You walk in this barn and I look on the left and there's people sitting on hay bales and sitting in the hayloft and it's just jammed. And you look over here and it's a stage with this monster rock and roll band and the whole thing's going like this and everything glorifies God and everything honors God. And I thought, this is what it should be. So you wonder where the vision of this church happened? Man, I went to Bible school and I was leading people to the Lord and a lot of people. I stood at a gas pump at 33rd and Mingo pumping people's gas at a self-serve gas station, and they'd say, why are you doing this? Because, oh, just go pay, I'll tell you in a minute. How much you getting? $10. I'd pump $10 in it. And they'd come out and say, for real, why are you doing this? Because maybe there's a chance that I could pray for you. And you know what? I don't remember anybody that said no. It was awkward. It was weird. But you know what? Man, the numbers started clicking of people that started confessing Jesus. It wasn't weird to me anymore. I'd walk up to people and I'd say, hey, I'm gonna pray for you. The first few times I was being nice, it's like, can I pray for you? And people are like looking at me. I'm like, yeah, I don't like it either. So I quit asking. I said, hey, I'm gonna pray for you. God, I thank you that you bless this guy. God, I thank you, your hands on his life. Matter of fact, you pray with me. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And I'd have to do that too. They'd stop and look at me and I'd look at them and then they'd say it. And they're confessing Jesus. And then I'd just make some stuff up because I had to finish the prayer. I didn't want it to be awkward any more awkward than it was. And I'd say, man, have a great night. And they'd look at me and they'd think, that's crazy. And it is crazy, but they called upon the name of the Lord. And you'll say, well, they're just repeating you. They could have not done it, but they did it. And let me tell you something. It's not my responsibility, because then I think about that. I think about that door of their heart again. And that door just creaked open, and they could look out, they could look through the crack in that open door, and they see Jesus. I'll take my chances on that. I'll take my chances on people that don't, not knowing him and not living for him, or having rejected the notion of mean Christians, or churches that, Paul said, beware of men who desire to be owners of men. We don't come here out of guilt anymore. Now I'm proving something. Why do you think I went out in the street? Why do you think that's, number one, no one was asking me to preach and I had a fire burning in me. But number two, I heard the scripture when Paul wrote back to Timothy and he said, do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of your ministry. I'm thinking, man, I started leading people to the Lord. I'm going to prove my ministry. So I'd run into people at Bible school and they'd say, man, there's a call in your life. And I'm like, cool. And I'd be walking away. Don't you want to know what it is? It's like, well, sure. You're an evangelist. Every time I was appreciative because at least I'm something. But I'm telling you, Scott, I knew I wasn't in my heart. I couldn't tell you what I was, but I knew that wasn't accurate. And then years and years later, God reminded me of that vision of ministry. And you know what it was? It was Guts Church. Instead of a barn, it's an old warehouse. And it's just activity, it's just energy, and it's just happy people. And that's our goal. You ask anybody in this band, what is your objective? To lift the room. I don't care how you have to do it, just do it. But why? Because people are coming in here and the world is trying to, do you understand the whole notion of the world that we live in is to try to suppress us? Chris, you can't do what you want to do. Man, I'm telling you, the bottom line is this is God's heart. We talk about armor bearers in our life, and there's so many in this room that are armor bearers for me. that I'm an armor bearer for them. But you know, the Holy Spirit's our real armor bearer. And you think about Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan was the son of a king, and he had had enough. There were 600 men in the Israeli army and millions of Philistines. And I probably exaggerate there. There were a lot of them. They had two swords, the Israeli army, and the armor bearer held one of them. Jonathan stands up. The Israeli army was hiding behind rocks and in caves and in bushes. And Jonathan's like, I'm the son of a dadgum king. I'm not hiding anymore. I believe this is a word. I didn't plan on talking about this tonight. But this message gripped my life for years now. And Jonathan said, that's it. He stands up. And the Philistines thought, let's go take him out. Then the armor bearer stood up. And you know what the word says? The commanders of the Philistines said, oh no, there's two of them. No, for real, read your Bible. Whoa, one stands up. Yeah, well, let's just pick him off. Two stands up, now we're in big trouble. Why? Because the first one that stood up convinced the second one. That means there's a third and a fourth and there's whatever. And you know what? Jonathan said, we've shown ourselves. Now we're going to do whatever they ask us to do. And the guy's thinking, what are you doing? These guys were the best warriors that Israel had. He said, yeah, if they ask us to wait here and they come to us, we will. But if they ask us to come to them, we've got them. So they stood up. The Philistine commander up that was up on a bluff that had the high ground. No way Israel could beat him. You know what he said? He didn't say, hey, wait, we're coming after you right now. He didn't give the command and cause the Philistines to charge him. He said, you guys come to us. I'm telling you, Jonathan couldn't get there quick enough. And when Jonathan got there, the commanders fell. As he walked through the ranks of the Philistines, they just began to fall. And that armor bearer, listen, that armor bearer took his sword and impaled them as quickly as he could. Think about the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that's in our life right now, who switches on go and is just waiting for us to speak, just waiting for us to act. But no, you know what? We got drugs in our past, or we got liquor in our past, or we've got infidelity, or we've got mistakes, we've got failure, we've got bankruptcy, all that stuff in our past. And the devil keeps reminding us of it, and we keep our identity in it. When the Holy Spirit, who is our true armor bearer, you know what the armor bearer said to Jonathan? When they were down there and they showed themselves, he said, whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. Do you understand that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what his response is in your life? See, the devil flips everything. See, the prince of the power of the air wants to convince you to think you got to wait on God. See, waiting on God isn't waiting, it's serving God like a waiter. You're serving God, let me tell you something. It's building you up. Because you serve God, there's resistance. You serve God, you're nourishing yourself with the meat of the word. Let me tell you what you want. You want to build muscle? You need resistance and protein. The world's given us the resistance. God's word gives us the protein, the nourishment. And you know what? You can't help it. Man, if you offer resistance and protein to your muscles, you can't help it get stronger. Your faith is going to get stronger when you're walking through resistance, but you're allowing God's word, what we're standing on, what's nourishing us. I mean, you get a diagnosis of something, you guys know what Sandy went through in the last year. How did that happen? How does this woman leave ICU 3 days after major surgery and never take a pain pill? No, how's that happen? No, for real, I'm asking you. Because the world's addicted to those pills now. Do you know that? And science is prescribing them. You could probably get one over the phone. She didn't take one. Why? Because the word turned her constitution rock hard. The rock of Christ Jesus solidified in her heart that this resistance that this liver disease was throwing at her was nothing compared to the protein that was stored up in her heart. So what'd she do? I'm telling you, that sucker walked through it. So what are you supposed to do with what you're dealing with? You got to walk through it. And you go, well, it's not that big a deal. Let me tell you, that is a huge warning that the Spirit of God is leaping on the inside of you when you start thinking it's not that big the big a deal. Because what foxes spoil the vine? Little ones. Oh, it's not that big a deal. No, let me tell you something, son. You make everything a big deal. You make every adversary you have, you make it an opponent. And you know what? You take God's word and you get out in front of it and you don't look back. And guess what happens? You're going to score and you're going to score and you're going to score. And then you know what? You're going to win. Is there any chance in the world that you're not going to win? No. Why? Because all you do is score. And let me tell you something. Our life now in God's word, we're always on the offense. And the defense will never prosper against us. We never give up the ball. We don't score and then have to kick the ball back to the enemy. No, you know what? We score and then we go score again. And then we go score again. And all we do is score, so we win. What does the Bible say? Best effort. How does the Bible say it? Run as one who wins. Well, but I'm not fast enough. You know what? What's great about this race, what the Bible says? This race is not for the swift. And you're like, that's counterintuitive. That's the word. And you'll say, no, this battle's, my enemy's too strong. The race isn't for the swift and the battle isn't for the strong. Because we're never strong enough. Man, Paul cried out to God 3 times, take this from me, take this from me, take this from me. Your guess is as good as mine on what it was. And I've heard people preach this. I've heard quote unquote faith people preach this. God said no. So I went back to the word. I found it in the word. I read it 12 times. God never said no to his request. His response is, my grace is sufficient. My power is sufficient. My favor is sufficient. He said, in your weakness, in your lack of speed in the race, in your lack of strength in the battle, is made my perfect strength. Paul, the revelation of that comes to Paul. What does Paul say? I'd rather be weak than strong. Man, we're relying on the world and their standards, and the world's broken. How do we win the world of Jesus? We take over. How do we save the world? We dominate. That's all I did at that gas station, that 7-Eleven. At 33rd and Mingo, it's a pawn shop now. I thought about it. How do I do it now? I go stand in the parking lot of the pawn shop and And God's doing something in here right now in our lives. This is absolutely a word in season for us. Man, I get up and preach. I think I said it last night. This wasn't for you. This was for me. I got to get out in front of everybody and everybody online and proclaim God's promise. You know the joy in that? Man, tomorrow, I'm just going to answer whatever questions men have in our men's lunch. And I'm going to take on all comers. You can ask whatever you want to ask. Why? Because the wisdom of God has been stored up. Scott, you have so much wisdom. It's a principal thing. But that's what makes us strong. That's the why we prevail. So the how and when and where is insignificant, because the why we prevail is that wisdom stored up on the inside of us. Man, the world's got wisdom like this. We begin to speak, they begin to wobble. We begin to speak, they begin to fall. You know what Jonathan said to his armor bearer? The armor bearer said, whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. He looked at him and he said, doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few. And the Holy Spirit's your armor bearer. John 1, Jesus is the Word made flesh. John 6, the Word is Spirit. So how it happens, it comes into you, it comes into your flesh, and it changes your heart into a mirror image of the world. And when you speak it, it's spirit, it's strength. It becomes a sword. And we're those who throw beyond the usual mark. I'm not who I look like. I'm not who you think I am. See, it's been over 40 years for me, but you know what guys that knew me 40 years ago? They say, Sheer, you're different, man. Sheer, I've been watching you on the internet, man. I don't hear anybody talk like that. Is all that stuff in the Bible? See, let me tell you how this works. If I wake up one day and find out I'm wrong, I'll spend the rest of my life letting people know that. But conversely, when I wake up and I know I'm right, I'm going to spend the rest of my life letting everybody know what's right, what's righteous. We don't get to God multiple ways. There's one way, and it's through His Son, Jesus. He's the door. He's the door. We go in and we come out through that door. We go in, we get all of God we can get. We go out and we dominate in the world. Julie, hopefully I made a point. I'm telling you, this revival started with, we're not looking for miracles anymore. We're living in a flow of blessing. Man, you get up in the morning, you say, man, I'm blessed, coming in and going out. I'm blessing the city, I'm blessing the field. Everything I put my hand to prospers. No weapon formed against me ever will. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and never beneath. Greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm created in Christ Jesus for great works. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Yet everything I put my hand to prospers. Don't tell me your business is going under. Get a different image of your hands. These hands aren't a point of contact. Man, these hands reflect the blood that surges through me now, and it's the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is what comes into contact with people when we lay hands on the sick. And what does the Bible promise? They recover. Man, I'm under attack. The Bible says you cast out devils. I don't know how to pray. You speak with new tongues. Yeah, but the world, well, man, I just want to be safe. You can ingest, you can touch any deadly thing and it won't harm you. See, all God's promise does, eliminate all excuses. We've got no excuse. We've got to go dominate. I'll tell you the purpose on your life, and I'm going to close with this. The purpose on your life, and I didn't even look at my notes. The purpose on your life, Sean, is to win. Doesn't matter what Sean's selling, he's going to win. Doesn't matter what Sean's doing, he's going to win. The only thing that can stop Sean is his own affections. Yeah, but my boss is an idiot. Probably. But everything you put your hand to prospers. You know what that word prosper means? In the Hebrew and in the Greek? To take control of. Why do you take control of it? Because God's called you to dominate. Be fruitful and multiply. Take dominion. I said, take dominion. Get it to your kids. Teach your children this. Yeah, my kid's grown. You teach your children. Man, Taylor gets up here to open up the service. Man, give it your best shot. Man, I'm going to preach tonight like Jesus come back tomorrow. Man, I'm anxious for nothing except for that eastern sky cracking. And I want to be in a crowd of people. And I want to have access to a mic. You hear that eastern sky crack? Everybody say Jesus! Hurry!
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.